The singer Langhorne Slim describes his music as country punk, a raw, energetic burst of noise that starts with elements of traditional American music. He and his bandmates arrived at NPR Studios back in April, toting an acoustic guitar, an upright bass, and a spare drum set. Langhorne Slim and the War Eagles, his band, were here to talk about the move from an indie to a major label and to kick up a little bit of noise. The BPP's Rachel Martin talked to Mr. Slim, who was born Sean Skolnick in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, about his new self-titled album and the origins of his self-appointed stage name.
I really just like the idea of having a nickname, but nobody really gave me one, or at least one that was very flattering. So when I left Pennsylvania and moved to New York, I decided to take the name of the town that I'm from. And
luckily it works. I mean, luckily it wasn't something like, you know, Wichita.
Wichita Slim would work.
Wichita Slim actually would have worked. Idaho Falls wouldn't have worked, which is where I'm from. Your grandmother, your parents, have those people been supportive, instrumental in this whole music thing?
Yeah, incredibly.
Is this something that they saw you wanting to do from a pretty early age?
I think that they knew that I wasn't going to go into any other sort of profession. So they were just sort of hoping that this would work out. So as much as this works out, they're happy because, you know, this is it.
And I was looking at your tour schedule. I mean, you guys are, you're all over the place. Mm-hmm. You're playing almost every night, right, for the next few months, and almost never in the same city two nights in a row. That's mm-hmm. tough. And you're doing all this, speaking of your grandmother, in your grandmother's car.
No.
This is not true. You've upgraded.
We have upgraded. We've upgraded to a functional van that fits our upright bass and Paul and Malachi and our tour manager Dixie and myself. So when we first started touring, it was my grandmother's Toyota Camry, and that was a little tight. But thankfully, we've been able to upgrade a little bit.
And you just, when you were using that, literally, how do you get a bass in there?
Carefully,
but it worked.
It worked, yeah.
Okay. Before we get any further, I do want to hear a little bit of music from you. So what do you want to play for us first?
We're going to play a song called She's Gone.
Okay, let's take a listen.
Now crutch, now pick it up. Now crutch, darling, pick it up.
And that was She's Gone, off of the new album, self-titled, Langhorn Slim. When you're just starting out and you try to create your own voice, everyone's telling you to tap into your own voice, find what is Langhorn Slim, but all you got to work from are the touchstones that you've had musically throughout your life, and people are comparing you to, you know, Dylan and Cat Stevens, and you hear that, and then how do you kind of, you just shut that off? You shut off those
voices?
Well,
that doesn't, I mean, I feel like when I've been compared to people like that, it hasn't been in a good way. It's sort of like, and also not true, like this is something that's trying to be like this, and that, I think a lot of white guys that play acoustic guitars get compared to Dylan and Cat Stevens and some of those, you know, huge, huge people. But yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, find my, you know, my way, my path, my unique sound. And hopefully have it be my own.
Do you remember your first paying gig?
I do.
What was it?
It was, I mean, it was hardly paying, but it was in Atlantic City, and the bartender nearly, you know, killed me. And then an old man took me to a strip club, and I was, I think, 14 or 15. And it was a weird day.
Wow, yeah, I wouldn't have expected the story to go that way.
Yeah, neither would I have. I might have just made that up. I'm not sure that actually ever happened.
What do you like about performing? I mean, just now when I was watching you, you can't help but move a lot.
Yeah.
You're a mover.
I'm a mover.
You're a mover. If someone were to tell you, okay, when you're going to get on stage, we're going to play this very intimate, small venue, the mood is going to be subdued, and you cannot move, is that something that would be difficult for you?
Yes.
Yeah. Why?
Well, I mean, you can move quietly, too. I mean, well, I don't know. Music makes me kind of want to dance, so that's what I do.
And when you're performing, are you a different person than when you're off stage? Are you pretty much the same person, or is there a different part of your character that comes out when you get up there?
I feel a little bit more confident singing than I do talking, I think.
Doing this, for example.
For example.
You can move if you want while you're talking.
Okay, I'll try that.
On your last album, you have a particular lyric. You say, at 24 years of age, I've got to pick up the pace.
Mm-hmm.
You're a few years older, 27
now. Yeah, 27,
now.
I'm still singing the same song.
Do you feel that same sense of urgency? Do you still feel like you have to pick up the pace? Or has it been frenetic enough that you'd like to slow it down a little now?
Well, pick up the pace doesn't necessarily mean move faster. Just, you know, do what you're doing better. Do what I'm doing better. So, yeah, that sentiment has not changed. I still long to do what I'm doing better.
Where do you see doing better? What does that mean for you? What do you want to do better? No answer.
Well, I think continuing what we have going, but
does it just mean getting more attention for what you're already doing, like the marketing part of it?
Well, you hope that comes, but just more sort of self-fulfillment, more kind of writing songs that mean something to me, and then hopefully to other people. So I think that's what I'm kind of, a very serious answer.
I know, we got to loosen you up a little bit.
A little bit.
I want to ask you, though, about something not so light. You have a song called Hope and Fulfillment, also from your last album. It's a lovely song, by the way, and part of it goes, if there's one thing for certain I've seen, self-desertion and everyone's hurting. Don't lean on another. Get yourself together. There's no one to blame, no parent that's fair. Don't you care? There's nothing to fear and no one worth losing yourself for. And that's a theme that you see in other songs that you've done, this this idea of self-reliance. Mm-hmm. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Mm-hmm. Don't blame other people for your woes or troubles in your life. Where does that come from?
My mother. Yeah. My mother taught me that, yeah, a lot. She reminds me of that every time we talk, pretty much, so.
And was there a particular lesson or episode in your life where that really was crystallized for you? Did you blame people for things when you were younger?
Well, a little bit. I mean, I had a hard time in school and, you know, thought that, like, the teachers were out to get me, and then I just realized that it wasn't, you know, it just wasn't my scene, really. But no, I mean, just I think in life in general, you know, it's you that's got to take care of yourself. So
you taking care of yourself okay?
I'm trying.
Langhorne Slim, the new album is self-titled, called Langhorne Slim. And before I let you go, I do want to have you introduce who played with you today. Who's in your band?
On the bass is Paul DeFiglia, and on the drums, Malachi DiLorenzo.
We appreciate you guys coming in. Thanks very much. Good luck with the tour.
Thank you very much.
I thought for a second one of them was going to wish the other one keep on keeping on. But you know what? It's not all the Slim we've got for you today. Before we send you off to your garden parties, your backyard BBQs, we're going to dish up a little outdoor music to get you in the mood as if you weren't already. Here's Langhorne Slim one more time playing his song Honey Pie right outside our doors in the actual Bryant Park.
If I can't get you good loving, mama showed, you know I'm gonna die. Now you come around my way, you tell me to go climb up a tree. Now come around your way, now carve our names into the tree. If you don't want it, darling, you can't have it. Ain't no girl gonna be the death of me. I'm going to die.
One, two.
You can see that video of the performance in the middle of New York City's Bryant Park on our website, npr.org/Bryant Park. And here to dot the I in Independence Day is BPP producer Ian Chalog, who's been checking out all these patriotic videos on YouTube. What's up?
Yeah, I'm pretty obsessed with them. I just want to share one by a songwriter named Jim Owen. It's a story song, some soldiers in Iraq, and they're pinned down, and they start to pray. Let's hear it.
I said, Lord, this is me, and I sure need your help. These young men belong to you, and they'll be surely killed. I ask you to protect them, Lord, if it be thy will. Then I saw Jesus as plain as he could be, waving the stars and stripes and looking straight at me.
Jesus was waving a flag.
Yes,
it's great. It's inspiring. You're Ian. I'm Mike Pesca. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Not